2 weeks ago, I asked you, how do you eat elephant? How do you do that? One bite at a time. And we talked about studying the Bible one verse at a time. There are a lot of different ways to study the Bible. You can study by books. You can study by chapters. You can study by topics. You can study by characters. But one way to study the Bible is one verse at a time. And those who like that says it's like eating an elephant. You do one verse at a time. Take one verse at a time and you really learn that verse and learn all about what's related to that verse. And eventually you'll know a lot about the Bible. So we talked about Acts 2:38 2 weeks ago, and a very important verse. Today I want to talk about Romans 6:23, which in my opinion is the closest you can get to a one-verse summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is close as you can get to a one-verse summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Romans. He had never been to Rome at the time, and he wrote the book of Romans to explain to the Roman Christians the gospel that he preached. It is one of the most organized books in the New Testament. Many of the books in the New Testament were personal letters and were just written as a personal letter. Romans is written as a organized thesis. And so Romans explains the gospel that Paul preached. And this verse is a summary of everything he had said from Romans chapter 1, verse 14, all the way through Romans chapter 6, verse 22. So it's a summary verse to summarize everything he had said up to this point. It is the best one-verse summary of the gospel that you can find anywhere in the Bible. Most of you, had I asked you what is a one-verse summary, most of you would have said John 3:16. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." This verse, as far as a good summary of the Bible, is even better than that. And because this tells you all about what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. It tells you all about salvation. We shared with you last time, that 2 weeks ago, that you need to get you a good translation, and you need to read it repeatedly. If you're going to study one verse, you need to read it repeatedly and emphasize different words as you go through. So we're going to do that. I want you to do it with me as we start, and it helps you to kind of get it in your mind, and that's the thing we want to do. You need to read it out loud and listen to yourself reading it. You need to read it out loud and listen to yourself reading it. We're going to emphasize different words. The first time we're going to emphasize wages, okay? We ready? "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Next time we're going to emphasize sin. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Next time we're going to emphasize death. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Next time we're going to emphasize free gift. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Next time we're going to emphasize God. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Next time we're going to emphasize eternal life. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Next time we're going to emphasize in, okay? "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Next time we're going to emphasize Christ Jesus. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Next time we're going to emphasize Lord. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Okay. And the reason we do that is to help you to realize that every verse, every word in the verse is important. Every word in the verse is important. And trying to get you to maybe see something that you hadn't seen there. Trying to get you to if you repeat it, to remember what it says. This is one of the verses that even if you don't memorize Scripture, this is one of the verses that you ought to memorize. This is a key verse that you ought to know by heart. You ought to know what it means. You ought to know what it says. You ought to know how you can apply it to your life and to the lives of your friend. For the wages of sin. Wages is what you get for what you do. Wages is what you get for what you do. If you were going to pay me $10 an hour to cut the grass, and I work 2 hours, what are the wages? How much? $20. Wages is what you get for what you do. That's very important in this verse. Wages is what you get for what you do. So the wages of sin, the wages of sin. In the Bible, the word sin means missing the mark. It is like having a target out there and me shooting an arrow and it falling short of that target. That's what the word means, sin. I fall short of what it's supposed to be. And the Bible gives at least 3 definitions of sin. One time it says sin is to do wrong. Sin is unrighteousness, is lawlessness, according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. But it also says sin is not to do right. James 4:17 says, if you know the right thing to do and does not do it, to you it is sin. So it is a sin to do wrong. It is a sin also not to do right. It's a sin to do wrong. It's also a sin not to do right. And then Romans 14:23 teaches that it's a sin to do something that I think is a sin, even if it's not a sin. If I think it is a sin and I do it anyway, then for me it is a sin. You say, Lee, that's strange. No, God judges our heart. God judges our heart. And if I think God doesn't want me to stand and put my elbow on this thing, I don't think God wants me to do that, and I do it anyway, what have I done in my heart? I've sinned against God. I rebel. This is what I think God wants, and so I disobey God. So it says in Romans 14:23, then it's a sin if I think something is wrong, even if it's not wrong. If I do it, I shouldn't be doing that. So it is a sin to do wrong. It is a sin not to do right. And it is a sin to do something I think is a sin, even if it is not really a sin. If I think it's a sin, I shouldn't do it. Yeah, that's Bible definitions of sin. 1 John 3:4, James 4:17, and Romans 14:23. Bible definitions of sin. My definition of sin. Sin is the misuse of something good. Sin is the misuse of something good. Everything God created before the fall, God said was good. But I can misuse sin. It's not a sin to eat, is it? Is it a sin to overeat? Wait a minute. Shouldn't have said that after Thanksgiving. The Bible calls it gluttony. It's a sin to overeat. Okay? Sexual relationships in marriage is not a sin. Sexual relationships outside of marriage is a sin. So sin is the misuse of something good. So let's go over again. We've talked about 5 different things. First of all, we talked about the meaning of the word sin, which means I missed the mark. I fall short of what I was aiming at. I fall short of God's standards. Then we said that it's a sin to do wrong. It's a sin to do wrong. God said, don't do this, and I do it. That's a sin. It's also a sin not to do right. If I know something I should do and I don't do it, that's a sin. And then we said it's a sin to, if I think something is wrong and do it anyway, then for me that's a sin. Then I gave you my definition is that sin is the misuse of something good. The misuse of something good. So the wages of sin What is wages? Tell me. Okay, wages is what I get for what I do. The wages is what I get for what I do. So the wages of sin, if I do something wrong, if I fail to do something right, if I think something's wrong, do it anyway, if I fall short of God's standard, or if there's something good and I misuse it, I've committed a sin. So what I get for that sin is what? Death. Now, in the Bible, death always means separation. Death always means separation. Physical death, according to James 2:26, is the separation of my spirit from my body. I don't know if the doctors have decided. I know there was one time there was some debate about when is a person actually dead. Because we used to think when the heart stopped beating, that person was dead. And then they went to say, well, when the brain waves stop, they're dead. But anyway, I don't know all those technical deals. I know scripturally a person is dead when his spirit separates from his body. That's physical death, according to James chapter 2, verse 26. But the Bible also teaches there is a second death. There is a second death. And the second death is to be separated from God. To be separated from God is the second death. And the wages of sin includes both of those deaths. We die physically because of sin. I am convinced that God created us to live forever. Had we not sinned, I think we would have lived forever. But because we sinned, the death process started. The New English translation says that dying, we will die. It's the process starts that we die. But also, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were separated from God. What happened? They kicked them out of the Garden of Eden. So they had death immediately, and then Adam lived to be 930 years old, but he died at that point. He would not have died had he not sinned. So what I get for what I do, the result of my sin is death. And death is the opposite of life. Death is the opposite of life. For the wages of sin is death, but we probably should have emphasized that word, shouldn't we? When we read over it, that's one of the key words. Every three letters, but that's one of the key words in the whole verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift. My translation says free gift. Most of your translations would say gift. Doesn't make any difference. If it's a gift, it's still free, right? If I had to pay for it, it's no longer a gift. But the free gift, it's a free gift. It's something I get that I did not earn. I did not, there's not my wages. If I earn it, then it's not a gift. Right? If I earn it, it's not a gift. If you say, I'll give you $20, but you got to cut my grass. That's not a gift. I earned the $20. Now, if you decided you're going to give me $5,000 to cut your grass, that's a gift. Right? Because you can't earn $5,000 cutting grass one time. You should have a pretty big yard. But anyway. So, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, who is it from? God. It is a free gift from God. God who's the one who gives it. And the one who gives it is the one who decides who gets it. Right? He decides, under what conditions would I give you this gift? You ever get a gift from somebody, say it's your birthday or maybe even Christmas, and you get a gift from somebody the last minute, you don't have time to get them one? How do you feel? Been messed up. Wish they hadn't done this. I'd rather not even have the gift than to get the gift from somebody, and I didn't get them anything. But the fact is, God gives us a gift, and there's nothing we can give him. I can't give him something equal. Fascinates me. People say, oh, let's, in our office pool, let's give gifts and spend $15. You ever watch those gifts? Sometimes somebody finds $15 and they go out something on sale for $30 and they got it for $15. You get a fantastic gift. Somebody else thinks, well, $10 is close enough to $15 for me. So you may get a $10 gift or you may get a $30 gift. When the rule was, everybody's supposed to get a $15 gift. But we all know what gifts are. But we need to understand that eternal life is a gift. It is a gift that God gives us. It's a gift that God gives us. It is a free gift from the God of the universe that He decided to give us. Now, eternal life in this verse is the opposite of death, right? So, if death is being separated from God, what is eternal life? Been united with God. Eternal life is sharing God's life with Him. Let me tell you a theological issue I'm wrestling with. I'm not very smart, so it takes me a while. but I've been wrestling with some time now. Did God really create us to live forever? Did God really create us to live forever? In other words, what I'm trying to say is, would I have eternal life anyway? Let me go a little farther and just tell you my struggle. What we really teach, and one of the things I'm wrestling with is, that we really teach a person will live forever somewhere. So they have forever life somewhere. And my struggle is that really true? Does a person's soul live forever somewhere? We know if we are Christians, God has given us eternal life and we share His life with Him and therefore we live forever and we have God quality life. But would I live somewhere anyway? And so I'm wrestling with that. I know in this verse, the difference is death and life. And death is what I earn. Life is what I get free. Right? Life is what I get free. It's a free gift. I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it. I don't have the capacity to earn it. It's like somebody wrestling with the national debt. You know, somebody wrestling with the national debt. If you would make $1,000 a day, you would have to work this long to pay off the national debt. You ever seen those illustrations? So it would be impossible for me to do that. It is impossible for me to earn eternal life. It is beyond my earnability. I don't have the capacity to do that. I don't care what I do or how good I do, I don't have the capacity to learn eternal life. Because if I ever committed one sin, that wiped me out. Just one. The Bible says if I commit one sin, I'm guilty of all of it. James 2:10, Galatians 3:10. I'm guilty of all of it. I don't have to murder but one person to be a murderer, right? I don't have to break all the Ten Commandments to be a lawbreaker. So if I've ever committed any sin, that disqualified me. I can't earn eternal life. Eternal life is a free gift. It is a free gift. And eternal life is sharing God's life with Him. Sharing God's life with Him. Notice when I become a Christian, when you become a Christian, God says, okay, you share my life. You have eternal life. You have God quality life. It starts in this life and gets much better after death. It starts in this life and gets much better after death. So the free gift of God is eternal life. Where is it, according to this verse? In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Other verses would say that it is not only in Christ Jesus, it is only in Christ Jesus. Jesus Himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The Apostle Peter said, and there is salvation in no one else. for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the only way, that eternal life, the free gift of eternal life, is only in Christ Jesus. That's the only place it is. According to 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, if you have the Son, you have the life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the life. So, eternal life, this free gift, is only in Christ Jesus. That is the only place it is. That is the only place. It is not one way to have eternal life. It is the only way to have eternal life. Then it says, Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Master. You wouldn't know about this, but probably 10 years ago, there was a big theological controversy among some of the big-name evangelists. And the controversy was over lordship salvation. And the issue was, can I be saved without accepting Jesus as my Lord? In other words, can I just accept Jesus as my Savior, get the fire insurance policy, and do whatever I want to do, and be saved? And the other side was to know, if you, salvation is a free gift, but in order for you to have the free gift, you must make Jesus not only Savior, but Lord of your life. I think this verse teaches that he must be Lord in my life. He must be my boss. He must be my master. He must be my leader. I must follow him. That does not mean I am perfect. I will never be perfect. It does mean the intent of my life is that I want to do what Jesus wants me to do. That my intent is to make him Lord, to make him king of my life, to make him the ruler in my life, to give him control of my life. To use my illustration, I get out of the driver's side, I get in and sit on the passenger side and let Jesus drive. I let him tell me where to go and when to go and what to do and what not to do. Jesus Christ, our Lord. So in this verse, there are two masters, and they're stated a little different than we normally state them, but it's either God or sin. Normally we would say God or Satan, but in this verse it's basically, is God or sin? And there are two methods. One of them is wages, one is free gift. Right? Let me say that a different way. There are two methods, works or grace. Works or grace. Wages or free gift. So there are two masters, sin or God. There are two methods, works or grace. Wages is work, what I get from my work, that's wages. Grace is what I get as a free gift. There are two results. One says death and the other one says eternal life. It's one or the other. Right? And the key question is, who's Lord? Me or Jesus? Because you see, the problem with sin is the eye in the middle. The problem with sin is the eye in the middle. I sin when I do what I want to do. That's what sin is, when I do what I want to do instead of what God wants to do. And if I do what I want to do, then I'm Lord of my life. What does the poem say? I'm master of my ship? Whatever that is. I don't know what that is. But the key here is, the quick question is, who's Lord in your life? Are you the Lord of your life? Are you in control? Are you doing what you want to do? Or Jesus, the Lord of your life? Does he control your life? Which is it? Two gods, sin. Or God. Two methods, grace or works. Two results, death or life. And the whole question hinges on, is Jesus Lord? Or am I Lord? Now, I suppose it is possible that I could make somebody else Lord and follow somebody else. But generally speaking, my problem is me doing what I want to do instead of what Jesus wants me to do. Me doing what I want to do instead of what Jesus wants me to do. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. A key verse that you need to memorize, you need to understand, you need to be able to explain. In fact, I knew of one preacher who used this verse to do evangelism. He just went out and explained this verse to people. One verse. And his reasoning was that people today really know so little about the Scriptures that when we take the Bible like I normally do and flip back and forth and say, you need to read this verse, you need to read this verse, then you need to read this verse, you need to read this verse, you need to read this verse, that they really get confused. They just don't know enough about the Bible. It really confuses them. So he just takes this one verse and goes out and explains. The wages of sin is death. You are a sinner. You've broken God's laws. What you get as a result of that is death, which means you're separated from God. But God offers you a free gift. It's a free gift because Jesus died on the cross for you. He took the punishment for your sins. He shed His blood to wash away your sins. And that free gift is eternal life, is God quality life, is going to heaven rather than going to hell. It is spending eternity with God, is being united with God instead of being separated from God. It is only in Christ Jesus, and it is only in Christ Jesus for you if you make Jesus Lord of your life, which means you do whatever He wants you to do. You do whatever He wants you to do. He said you need to have faith in Him. He said in Luke 13:3, you need to repent of your sins. He said in Matthew 10:32, you need to confess Him before men. He said in Mark 16:16, you must believe and be baptized. He said in Matthew 24:13, that you must remain faithful until death. So if you're making Him Lord, you'll do whatever it is He wants you to do. You'll do whatever it is He wants you to do. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation. If you need to make a decision, if you need to change sides, you need to go from the wages side to the free gift side, you need to make that decision now.